Welcome to today's live talk. I'm your host, Michelle Gasso. Today we will be speaking with Art Leonardo, Executive Director of the North American Association of Wardens and Superintendents, and a retired corrections official from the New York State Department of Correctional Services. Leonardo has been the Executive Director of NAWS since 1997, taking the position while serving as a supervising superintendent for the New York State Department of Correctional Services. Leonardo retired from the New York Correctional Services Department in 1999 and served in many positions with the department throughout his career. He began his corrections career in 1969 as a counselor at the Coxsackie Correctional Facility in Coxsackie, New York. In 1983, he was promoted to Deputy Commissioner for Operations, and he became a superintendent for the department in 1986. He has been quoted in many articles about corrections, including pieces published by the American Correctional Association and Corrections.com, and he is formerly the editor of Corrections Security Report. Today he will be speaking with us about the efforts among corrections associations and agencies to assist those in the Gulf Coast area following Hurricanes Katrina and Hurricane Rita. So welcome to today's live talk, Mr. Leonardo.
Hey, thank you very much, Michelle.
Well, we're very happy to have you. We wanted to talk with you today, as I said, about what efforts have been made following Hurricanes Katrina and Rita, which devastated the Gulf Coast area of the country. Can you talk about what happened right after the storms in terms of the assistance given to the corrections departments down there and corrections officers?
Yeah, actually, the morning of the morning that the storm hit the land, I talked to Daryl Vannoy, who happens to be an officer in NAWS, and who was also a deputy warden at Angola. And truthfully, Michelle, at 7:30 or so in the morning, he said, "My God, we were lucky. We dodged a bullet. It did not hit us full on." And the people in Louisiana were relatively well prepared in the corrections department. Mm-hmm. They had evacuated several facilities. They were on standby. They had people deployed from facilities that were further inland. Then, of course, the devastation really hit when that levee broke.
Right.
And I think... just to cite a couple of examples of immediate help, I know that John Reese, the commissioner in Kentucky, sent staff and supplies to Louisiana and Mississippi, and Marty Horn, the commissioner from New York City, sent supplies and staff, because there's a special relationship between New Orleans and New York City. Because of the way the New Orleans Fire Department especially helped New York City after the 9/11 attack. So those were ways in which, physical help came right away.
and specifically from corrections departments, it seems.
Yeah, yep. I think there were probably other departments that did things that I'm just not really aware of.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, I think, to my knowledge, Pennsylvania eventually sent some staff down as well. What was NAWS' involvement in bringing different groups together following the hurricanes? And can you talk a little bit about what your group and others did to raise awareness about what happened down there?
Yeah. We're an organization of wardens and deputy wardens. And we feel if we have any responsibility at all in our professions, it is to take care of the people who work with us and for us and for the inmates who are under our care. So right away I began thinking and talking to people about what could we do to help out. Stalder in Louisiana is on our board and is one of our strongest supporters. Emmett Sparkman in Mississippi is a former Warden of the Year. Burl Kane is a former Warden of the Year in Louisiana.
So there's a lot of strong ties between NAWS
yeah.
and...
And of course, NAWS had had its last conference in April in New Orleans, and we were treated royally, especially by the sheriff of Orleans Parish. Mm. And, you know, we just felt like there had to be something we could do. So I began slowly by putting something on our website, and then I talked to our president, Luella Burke, who also happens to be the executive director of the Association of Women in Corrections. She made a few phone calls and then got back to me and said that the Association of Women in Corrections and NAWS would like to partner together to raise funds for relief, because we knew right away that there were corrections staff who personally were devastated. We knew they were out working. Mm-hmm. We knew they're doing their jobs. But we also knew that they had lost their homes and their property and probably lost family members.
Wow.
So right away, those two groups came together. We shortly thereafter talked to Steve Ingley from the American Jail Association, and he immediately joined with us. So Andy Moss from the Association of Women in Corrections, Luella Burke from NAWS, and Steve Ingley from AJA joined right in. And of course, we got immediate support too from Jim Gondels and ACA. We began a fundraising effort, and immediately money started coming in. But I would be remiss if I didn't tell you that the state of Michigan, under the leadership of a former NAWS president, Pat Caruso, just immediately began a fundraising effort in all of their facilities. And they raised over $70,000. And I'm talking about $2 and $3 donations and $100 donations from little people.
Right, right.
From secretaries, from corrections officers, from union officials, from administrators. It just, the money really began to roll in. And it rolled in, I think, because everybody felt this sense of family.
Right.
That these were our people. And we didn't want to supplant other kinds of efforts. You know, we weren't saying that the Salvation Army or FEMA or the Red Cross weren't doing a good job. We just felt like we had a responsibility to help our own. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of people gave to that because they knew that the money would go right directly to people who needed it.
Right. Well, actually, you lead me right into my next question, which is, the funds have been collected, and how are they being distributed to those in need in the Gulf area?
Well, for purposes of accounting, and because the American Corrections Association is bigger than the organizations that put the effort together, we sent the money to ACA, who then put it in an account and then sent it by check to Commissioner Epps in Mississippi and Commissioner Stalder in Louisiana. And I personally got the assurance of both of these gentlemen that this money would go directly to the most needy staff, that there would be no administrative costs, there would be nothing taken out, and that every single penny would go to people who lost everything.
Well, that's great. If you're just joining us, we're talking to Art Leonardo of the North American Association of Wardens and Superintendents about corrections efforts to assist those on the Gulf Coast of this country following Hurricanes Katrina and Rita. Well, I just kind of wanted to go back to talking a little bit about corrections staff. They really seemed to, like as you said earlier, they were kind of ready for the storm down in the Gulf, and they were able to mobilize in a couple of different ways to sort of evacuate and to support other agencies and other people, but also, you know, elsewhere coming together to, to donate their time to support people down there. Can you talk a little bit about why is it that corrections staff, in particular, is able to kind of respond so well in emergency situations and kind of be very quick about making decisions and doing what's needed to be done?
Well, sure. The fact of the matter is we work in an environment in which emergencies come up all the time. They're not some kind of dreamed up possibility. We have emergency plans. We use the latest techniques like incident management. But we are constantly looking at our plans, updating our plans, and rather than just having a plan on the shelf, we use the plan. We rehearse the plan, and then occasionally, if we have an incident at our facility, it doesn't have to be a flood or a hurricane. It can be a fire. It can be an escape. It can be a disturbance. Our staff know that the incidents and the plan are there to be used. There probably aren't very many people in the facility who haven't been involved in three or four major incidents. So it's kind of like a second nature thing. And then, of course, we're very capable, because we're sort of a paramilitary organization, to go outside the facility to help others.
Right.
We have vehicles. We have emergency generators. All facilities have an extra supply of food for probably a month or two if they needed it. We have oil reserves so that our generators would run if the electricity went out. It's sort of a thing that we do all the time. And I suppose the rest of the community could look to us to show them how to do those kinds of things.
Yeah. I would say, especially in light of sort of where some of the response efforts maybe didn't meet all the needs of everyone on the Gulf, then yeah, maybe they could. And sort of looking to the future of supporting those down in the Gulf Coast, or what are there any relief efforts that are being planned, to continue? And do you think that the disaster down there will kind of remain in people's minds, especially as they think about, the holiday season and that sort of thing? People, maybe think back to what they're thankful for and that sort of thing. I'm just wondering if this is something that people will continue to do.
Yeah, I think it will. It will certainly remain in the minds of corrections people. You can't forget watching the state corrections people from Louisiana who evacuated 7,000 county or parish inmates from the I-10 overpass without losing anybody.
Right.
And just think of for a minute what might have happened to the chaos in New Orleans if 7,000 felons were roaming the streets. So people will remember that. We'll remember the fact that we have some of our brothers and sisters who are without homes. Our Grapevine, which is our quarterly newsletter, will go in the mail this week, and it's all about the relief efforts.
Oh, great.
Our hospitality room at the ACA convention will be full of pictures and documentation of what's been done, and we hope to continue to collect money there. We've actually turned all of our original money over to the commissioners, and I think it was somewhere in the vicinity of $160,000.
Oh, goodness.
And I can tell you that we have $14,000 in an account already that we're beginning to build up.
Great.
So I think these efforts will continue. We're going to, I'm sure, begin to hear more and more of those individual needs and individual stories. And it's not the kind of thing that we can forget about. We also, though, did take another step. When this thing hit, our organization was not really prepared. We had a word of mouth kind of way to talk to each other. The Association of Women in Corrections, they had an email network that allowed them to talk to everybody, and NAWS didn't. So since then, we started a thing called NAWSinfo.com, in which, the leadership of NAWS can talk to anybody who signed up for this immediately. They don't have to wait for the quarterly newsletter to know what's going on. So we would really be prepared if another thing happened in which correction staff needed our help.
Well, that's a great idea. Well, it's been a pleasure speaking with you today about these efforts, and that concludes today's live talk. Again, thank you to Art Leonardo of the North American Association of Wardens and Superintendents for joining us today.
Hey, Michelle, Merry Christmas to you and Happy Holidays to everyone from the NAWS folks.
Thank you so much. And thank you also to our audience for tuning in. To learn more about how corrections officials assisted those in need during and following the hurricanes, be sure to read this week's articles on the Corrections Connection at www.corrections.com. For CCNN, I'm Michelle Gasso.